Good morning, Greenwood Baptist. It is such a pleasure for me to be here with you on this frigid, I repeat, frigid Sunday morning. So for all of you who pressed your way out to the house of prayer, there's an extra star going in your crown when you get on the other side. Amen. It is really cold out there this morning, and I was born and raised in this area, so I've experienced cold winters, but I don't know whether it's I'm getting older or but I said, Lord Jesus. And it just has not been any let up. It's just been relentless. And I looked at the news this morning. I think we're going up to 28, praise the Lord, on Wednesday. Who thought we'd be applauding for 28? But that's going to be a major improvement over 15. And tonight, they say, for the people down at Times Square watching the ball drop, it's going to be as though it were -3. So I'll be in church this evening, definitely. It'll be cold getting there, but once I get there, it'll be warm on the inside, just like it is in here this morning. Amen. That's where I was going with that. It's cold outside, but I feel the presence of the Lord here among us. It's warm in here. Our hearts are warmed. Our hearts are filled with joy this morning because we're going into another year. And the alternative to that would be that we would not be here to cross over the threshold into 2018. And so we're happy that we're crossing over, that we're getting another chance, that God is allowing our golden moments, although they may not always seem so golden, but still, when it comes right down to it, allowing us another opportunity to get it right and to make a difference and to join him in his project, in God's project of justice and liberation and all the things that we want to see happen. I believe they're going to happen this morning. Anybody else believe that with me? I do. I know days look dark. There's a lot going on. Sometimes I take what I call a news fast, where as much as I like to be informed, I can't today. I just can't take any more from Washington. I can't take any more from North Korea. I can't take just, so I'll take a few days. But then I found out my cable went out this past week. And I was like, I don't like not having the option. When I want to take a news fast, fine, but I don't like wanting to know what's going on and not being able to watch the news. So thank the Lord my cable is back on as of yesterday. And what did I do? Went right to CNN. Some things we just can't help doing. But as dire as things seem on this morning, the message that I would like for us to understand is that there is hope. Because God takes care of us, in spite of what things may seem like, God takes care of us. And so let me read into your hearing the scripture that the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Probably a familiar reading to some, if not most of us, but we'll read it again this morning anyway. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The thing that jumps out at me most is the latter part of, or the entire 33rd verse, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word and sanctify it in our hearts that we may grow thereby. If you would just pray with me for a moment. Gracious God, our Father, our mother, our brother, our sister, our friend, we thank you this morning for bringing us out to this house of prayer. We thank you, O God, for Greenwood Baptist Church and for their longevity in this community, for those who are gathered here this morning, for those who have gone on before, for those who will come in the future to sow into this ministry. But most of all, God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you've allowed us to be on the threshold of crossing over from 2017 into 2018, and we believe that we will see the crossover. We will cross over into 2018. God, we thank you for all that you did for us in 2017, even for the things that we didn't know about until after they were over. We thank you that you protected us, oh God, from all hurt, harm, and danger, seen and unseen. We thank you for those times when we came up out of the subway and evil was lurking and danger was there, but you protected us and you allowed us to get home or wherever it was we were going safely. God, we thank you for these young people that are here this morning, for there are so many places they could be, but they are here in the house of prayer. And God, we thank you for them. We thank you for their labor of love, for the song that they share with us, along with their father. Oh God, in this time we need children and parents worshiping together. That is so important. Thank you, God, for this hour, for this moment of trying to explain and to share your word with your people gathered here. Oh God, bless your servant. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength, you are my rock, you are my redeemer. This is my prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so this morning, as I said, I was back and forth on a subject. So many things came to my mind about this particular scripture, but how God takes care of us just kept coming back to me. And so that's what I'd like for us to think about for just a few moments this morning, how God takes care of us. Now, there's something I think you will agree with me on, uncertainty. We live in a time of uncertainty. I mentioned earlier what's been going on the news for quite some time now, over a year. And so uncertainty gives rise to anxiety. We may have some medical professionals in here this morning. You know better than most of us that anxiety is not a good thing. Anxiety, often more times expressed as stress, is not a good thing. It does bad things to us, to our total being, physically, emotionally, psychologically. Uncertainty gives rise to anxiety. And then anxiety does what? It robs us of the joy of life. Because when we're stressed out, when we're anxious, when we can't figure out what's going on, when we don't have the answers, and as human beings, because we're made in the image of God, we're designed to want to find the answers and to come up with answers. That's who we are. That's who God made us to be. But if we don't trust in God, we find ourselves stressed out, full of anxiety, and then we are robbed of the joys of life. Our text this morning reminds me of a powerful devotional, little devotional book written by my current pastor, Dr. Donna Scopper, the pastor or senior minister, as her title is, of Judson Memorial. She wrote a book a few years back. She's written many, but this particular one, it's my favorite because it's entitled A 40-Day Journey with Howard Thurman. I'm sure there's some people in the room that know who Howard Thurman is, the great mystic, the great advisor to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a personal friend of Gandhi. And so in this book, she selected 40 inspiring passages from the works of Thurman to accompany readers on their own spiritual journeys for a period of 40 days. Sometimes people use it during Lent. Sometimes people use it during Advent. Oftentimes people begin to read it on the first of the year and read through, you know, use it for 40 days going into a new year. Each one of the little vignettes in there is accompanied by a short biographical story from Thurman's life, a corresponding biblical passage, and a psalm, and then questions for reflection, discussion, and journaling suggestions. It's quite a comprehensive, small and compact, but it's really good. I've done it before. And it's really good just to journal and to get your thoughts out there and to let the meditations of your heart that come from your prayer and your time in reading the word, write them down. And then after you're done with it, maybe 3 months later, 6 months later, to go back and read what was on your heart and what was in your mind during the 40 days that you did the exercise, whether it's during the first 40 days of the new year or not. But anyway, my point here is one of the passages gives the reader Howard Thurman's understanding of how God takes care of us. And that gave me the thought that I just mentioned, the cornerstone of this message this morning about uncertainty giving rise to anxiety and anxiety robbing us of the joys of life. Uncertainty, if we're not sure about something, that gives us anxiety. So this particular vignette was circa 1910, and it was all about the prediction of Halley's Comet. Thurman had not seen the comet. He was a young child at this time because his mother, made him go to bed every night at the setting of the sun. And so in order to see a comet, you would have to be up in the later hours of the night or the wee hours of the morning. But listen for a moment, as what ended up happening was he wanted to see the comet. And so when his father came home from work one day, he allowed him to stay up and he took him out with him on the front porch to see the comet. So listen for a moment as Thurman shares this experience. One night, I was awakened by my father, who asked if I would like to see the comet. I got up, dressed quickly, and went out with him to the backyard. There I saw in the heavens the awesome tail of the comet and stood transfixed. With deep anxiety, I asked, without taking my eyes off of it, what will happen to us when that thing falls out of the sky? There was a long silence during which I felt the gentle pressure of his fingers on my shoulders. Then I looked into his face and I saw what I had seen on another occasion, when without knocking, I had rushed into his room and found him in prayer. At last, he said, "Nothing will happen to us, Howard. God will take care of us." In that moment, something was touched and kindled in me, a quiet reassurance that has never quite deserted me. As I look back on it, what I sensed then was the fact that what stirred in me was one with what stirred in me was one with what created and controlled the comet. It was this inarticulate awareness that silenced my fear and stilled my panic. So at that young age, he had this experience that allowed him to understand that whoever was in charge of the comet and the cosmos and his life and his father and his mother and their small little house would take care of him. One thing that I've heard, and I know you've heard it also, particularly since 45, I mean, no offense to anyone here, but I just have to say what's on my heart this morning, took office, is that we don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of uncertainty in our nation today. There's North Korea, as I mentioned earlier. There's everything that's going on in the Middle East. There is just so much going on. Maybe not even more than was going on before, but it's going on in a different way now that has raised our anxiety level and our uncertainty as a nation, as a people, to a place where I don't think, at least in my lifetime, it's been before. We don't know if we're going into war with North Korea. We don't know what the repercussions of that whole thing is going to be. And in the face of that uncertainty, anxiety has reached a crisis level. People are on edge. They're uncertain about the future, and therefore they're anxious. People are on edge. I don't know how many these young people here are a little young to remember this song, but some other people will remember there was a song that came out by a hip hopper named Grandmaster Flash back in the 90s. And the lyrics to the song were, "Don't push me because I'm what?" I knew somebody would remember it. "I'm trying not to lose my head." That's where we are this morning. Whether we're saying it out loud or not, in our thoughts, when we are contemplating things, when that, you know, sometimes you can be just riding on the train and it will grip you. And you have to pray and say, "God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know what's going on, but I trust in you." That's the only way we can get through it, because we're on the edge. For example, there are people who can't pay their rent. That's a big one. That in the city of New York, I have found, particularly in my position at Abyssinian as interim minister for pastoral care and advocacy, those are the sorts of things that I handle, helping people who were about to be evicted, helping people who are trying to help people who had already been evicted, people in the shelter system. All of that was my responsibility. And so I know that not being able to pay rent is a big one. It's not because they're not working. We have a community of people I like to call the working poor. They are working, sometimes more than one job, but they just can't make ends meet because the cost of living in New York is so high, and because rent control often is not really controlled, and because property owners and landlords are predators, and there's just so many things going on, and because the real estate board in the city of New York controls all of that now, as quiet as it's kept. So one of the things we have to be concerned about in our communities is that rent is stabilized and doesn't go any higher, because as I was walking to the train this morning in Manhattan to come out here, I saw homeless people sleeping on the streets, even in this weather. And as I walked by, I did what we learned in seminary. There are different types of prayers, and there are ejaculatory prayers, right? Things that you just utter. You're not contemplating it. You're not thinking about it. But when you see a certain situation, automatically a prayer rises up in your heart and comes out. And as I walked by them, I was like, "God, put a roof over their heads. Give them a meal, a hot meal. Give them somewhere where they can feel safe and warm." Because oftentimes the things we take for granted, the fact that we have food on our table and a roof over our head, there are so many people who don't have that. And it's not because they're lazy or because they don't want to work. It's because their life has just spiraled out of control because of one bad experience after another, and they just give up. It's the stress, it's the anxiety. If we're not careful, it will cause us to give up. And if we have no God to believe in and no one to have faith in, then it becomes even more difficult. And so this morning, some of you, no doubt, have experienced going to the hospital. We have a group of people that even in that situation, they're by themselves, worry, anxiety. Many of us in this room, not me, I'm single, but many of you, when you go to the hospital and they ask you, "Is there someone we can call in case of emergency?" You don't even have to think about it. "Yes, you can call my wife. Yes, you can call my husband or another relative or a close friend, family friend." But there are people, and I have seen this in my hospital visitation and in my doing pastoral care, that are in that situation even by themselves. I have seen when I was a chaplain intern at NYU, seniors leaving the hospital by themselves, and but for the cab driver coming around, opening the door, helping them in, they would be by themselves. And so I wonder this morning what that must feel like, to be all alone and to not know who's going to take care of you if you get to the place where you can't take care of yourself. We have to have an assurance, or we need to have an assurance about this life. We need to know where we're going to live. We need to know how we're going to get by tomorrow. But this text this morning tells us not to worry. So the juxtaposition there is Jesus is telling them, and this is the Sermon on the Mount, not to worry about your daily needs, not to worry about what it is you're going to eat tomorrow. The birds are not worried. They're doing their things, but God still feeds them. Not to worry about what you're going to wear tomorrow. The lilies of the field are clothed and it's so beautiful. Don't worry about it. God's got it. But in our humanness, we can't help but be concerned about what tomorrow is going to hold. What about the children who have no one to care for them? We don't see that very often up close. I've worked around and worked with various agencies in the city who are taking care of children 8, 9 years old. Parents are in and out. Sometimes the parents are struggling with drug abuse, other things. But these children are basically raising themselves. And sometimes the 8 and 9 year olds are responsible for 3 and 4 year olds. And so we might not see a level of anxiety in these young people that we recognize in adults, but trust me, it's there. Why? Because children are only smaller versions of us. And so all the emotions that we feel, what we experience, they experience it too. And they really have a difficult time because they have not matured to a point where they can understand what's going on. Uncertainty gives rise to anxiety. And anxiety robs us of the joys of life. But what did Jesus say to us? Jesus said in another text, I have come that you might have life. Not only that you might have life, but that you might have it. What? More abundantly. The abundant life is what God wants for us. The abundant life is what we can have through Jesus Christ. Jesus came to show us that there is a joy to life, even in the face of what we might consider uncertainty. There is still a joy to be had. If we go to the text, again, the text shows us our Heavenly Father who feeds the birds. He will much more feed us. Jesus gives several reasons why we should not worry about these things. In doing so, he establishes two important principles that are crucial to winning our war over worry. Worry is a war. Worry is fear. There's another text in the Old Testament. I don't have the chapter and verse now, but what it says is fear is torment. This is what worry is. This is what anxiety is. It's torments. It causes us to wrestle all night long. We're sleeping physically, but our mind and our body is not resting. And so we wonder why we wake up in the morning and we're still exhausted. Because all night long we're wrestling, we're toiling, we're tossing, we're turning, we're worrying. We are gripped with fear of what may happen tomorrow. The word worry actually is what this scripture talks about. The word worry, translated from the original language, means distracted. We are distracted by all that's going on around us. Distracted from the Word of God. Distracted from our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Distracted from what we know to do. We know as children of God, we must pray, we must read our Word, we must depend completely on God. That is the only way to get through any set of circumstances, but particularly what we're experiencing in the world today. In other words, don't let anxiety about the daily things of life distract you from the more important things of life. Second, in this text, it is God who provides our lives and our bodies. If he is powerful enough to create us, to create life, then is he not also powerful enough to sustain us, to sustain our lives? Third, if God, through his providence, provides for the needs of the birds of the air, will he not provide for us? This is what Jesus is saying to them. We are his prized creation. We are the only ones created in his image. Not even the angels can say what we have said this morning. Our minister of music said, he saved our souls. The angels, as powerful as they are, as prominent as they are in Scripture, as prominent as they will be in the second coming of Jesus Christ, they can't say this morning, I've been redeemed. But we in this room this morning can say, I've been redeemed. We are God's prize creation. Fourth, we need to develop faith in God's providence, both in God's ability and God's willingness to provide for us. But the promise of his providence is conditioned upon what? When we go back to that 33rd verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and, oh, by the way, God's righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Oftentimes, people misquote that scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. That middle clause, and God's righteousness, that's the requirement. We have to seek God's righteousness. What does that mean? Simply living the way we know as Christians we should live. Following God's commandments to the best of our ability. Is God looking for perfection? Absolutely not, because he knows we're not capable of perfection. But seeking a relationship with him, seeking to do God's will, seeking to do what it is God has commanded that we do is all that he asks. That we do the best that we can, that we do what we know to do, that we do what we've been taught to do along our Christian journey. We must make the will of God the number one priority in our lives. This is the answer. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hold on to that. And God's righteousness. Finally, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble. This is true. I know in the context of time, we today, tomorrow, the next day. But we can't worry about tomorrow because we don't know what's coming out of Washington. When we get home this afternoon, breaking news, here we go again. And we're already stressed out. We've already experienced anxiety about what we heard last week. And then all of a sudden, something else happened. Even here in the city, every day, something is going on the subway. Talk about being over the edge. I was on the 2 train coming from Harlem this past week. And a man opened the doors. You know the doors that let you go into another car. African-American gentleman came in. You could tell that something was going on with him emotionally or some sort of pathology was happening there. Talking to himself, and you know, the things we experience on the train. You, those of us that ride the train, you already know. If you get through a ride without something like that happening, it's like, interesting. Things are not normal today. This gentleman opened those doors and stood on the chains, you know, those chains that are covered with the black rubber, stood on the top chain and started threatening to jump off the 2 train as we were moving. I got on at 72nd Street. Actually, I got on at 42nd Street. I got off at 72nd Street because things were starting to exacerbate and people were trying to pull him down. And just, I was like, not today. I just can't with the confusion. And I don't want to experience the trauma that takes me to something else of someone jumping off the train in my presence. I prayed again in ejaculatory prayer. I'm like, Lord God, please speak to his heart, speak to his mind. Help him to get down from there. But I did not want to physically experience the trauma. And this is what happens to us. We are triggered. I don't care what goes on with human beings. When we see these things on the news, when we hear these things, we are triggered. They are affecting us. They are adding to the stress. They are adding to the anxiety. And what happens to us? It affects us physically. Our blood pressure is on the rise. Our blood sugar is on the rise. All of that is you know, some of it is related to overeating, and I'm a foodie, so pray for me there in 2018. I'm working on it already. Some of those things are related to our diet. We know that. But by and large, we are triggered by the things that are going on around us that we can't control, by the uncertainty, by the anxiety. And so I got off at 72nd Street and waited for the 3 train because I just did not want that particular experience of this man jumping off the train. And I prayed that he ended up not doing it. I hope today, wherever he is, he's getting the help that he needs. Well, when we're not capable of handling tomorrow's worries, we feel we have no control over our future. The only way to overcome that is by trusting God. That is the only answer, I guarantee you. Jesus today would say to us, listen, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you would only hear me, I can give you a cure for your uncertainty. I can give you something that I am, like the man who built his house on a rock. When the storms of life came, when the winds blew, when the rains fell down so that it seemed like Noah was about to float again. If we trust in Jesus, who is the rock, what does the song say? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on what? On Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We've got to have our confidence on God through Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as I close, beloved, I appeal to you. I beg of you. I'm preaching to myself at this moment because I'm no different than any of the rest of you. I'm a human being just like you. I have anxiety, I have stress, I have worry just like you. So I beg of you this morning, as we go into 2018, remember the song, in times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Jesus tells us that we have to anchor ourselves in the Word of God. That Word gives us assurance of the presence of God in our life every single day, regardless of what's going on. Regardless of that 3 o'clock in the morning phone call. Regardless of what may happen on your job. Regardless of whatever goes on. Jesus Christ is the rock that we must stand on, that we must depend on. We must always know he is there for us. We have given our lives to him. We are his sons. We are his daughters. He will not fail us. Regardless of what's going on, God will always take care of us. This is the message for this morning through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.